But I'm going to read a few verses that the Lord may lead from the 5th chapter of Daniel. And I'm not going to talk on it for just a little bit. As I said, I don't know whether I preach on much tonight or not, because I think it's rather in a way a time of rejoice at the many, many blessings. Me and the wife sat back home this afternoon, and we began to think back. It was good to think back of the wonderful things that God has wrought for and in us during the years that we have had the privilege of being in the ministry and being a Christian. Harold there, the son of mine, many a time has he laid on the seat behind me and sweat when he wasn't any larger, wasn't he? Than Sister Dorothy, who was on. Many's the time that I've been preaching when he's laying on the seat, and he'd fall off, and I'd just keep preaching, reach down, lay back up on his seat, and just keep going. Didn't worry me a bit more. I've done that many, many times. And I thank God for it that God seemed to fit and raised him up in that way. And I believe that Randy, his son, told us the other night that he believed that God was going to call him into the ministry. And to me, that is the greatest thing that could happen to our family. The wife and I have asked God time and time again, at least to select one preacher out of the 5 grandsons. And we believe that God is going to do that. We had hopes of all of them for that during being preachers, but apparently they're not going to do. But if the Lord will just bless us with one, we spoke to Harold, we dedicated him with the Lord when he came into the world, you might say, just at the time. We have hoped that we prayed many, many times that God would take him and use him and make a preacher out of him, but it wasn't appearing that the will of God. But perhaps it was God's will that he take one of his sons and put him into the ministry. At least we are trusting that he does. We are looking forward to that time. I am reading, as I have already stated, a portion of the 5th chapter of Daniel. I'm not going to speak in just a very few minutes. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for that, for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whosoever he will. And that the known and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, meaning Central, you Florida. This is the interpretation of the name, meaning God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Central, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Peris, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persia. Then commanded Belshazzar that they hold Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of thy kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That's reading the remaining portion of this chapter of Daniel. And I would like to turn with me to Ecclesiastes 12 and a portion of the first verse. We're just going to think on that very, very briefly because I have taken up the time and talked. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember. We want to think of that tonight. Remember. Now this man that I read in your hearing of tonight, his father before him, he had exalted himself. He was the king, we might say, of almost the world at that time, Nebuchadnezzar was. But he exalted himself, and I have spoke of a man that used to work for us, or with us, rather, that said one time when he was complimented upon the building, the home that he lived in, and told how good that God had been to him, this man said that God didn't have anything to do with it whatsoever. And he reached out his hand and said, with these hands and with this brain, I have accomplished all of these things. Now then, Nebuchadnezzar did practically the same thing. He exalted himself above the nation. He exalted himself above God. And the Bible said, he that exalts himself, the same shall be abased. And Belshazzar knew about these things. He knew that his father, what he had done, because he was king before him there, of Babylon. And he knew that at that time, that God spoke to him, to Nebuchadnezzar, and told him. You read in the fourth chapter of Daniel about how that the tree, that this dream that he had, about a great tree that was powerful, that the fowls of the air rested in, the animals of the earth sheltered under it and fed from it and all of that. And he didn't understand that dream, but the angel of the Lord showed him or told him, or God revealed to him that it was Nebuchadnezzar that he had reference to, that this tree was cut out. He cut it down and destroyed it, all but the stump of it and the roots of it, and he put a band of iron and of brass around it that it might come forth again. And they told him that was Nebuchadnezzar that had exalted himself, and that God was going to take his kingdom away from him because of his exaltation, and because that he had forgotten dispelled, my friends, that God had exalted or raised him to the position that he had. A friend, you and I tonight, whatever we may have accomplished in this life, whether it was spiritual, whether it was natural, financial, or any of those things, God had a hand
brother, God has made it possible for you and I to be where we're at tonight and what we are tonight. Belshazzar, my friend, was the son of this man that I read in your hearing. But God Almighty, my friend, put him, this king, he made him as a beast, as I read in your hearing. Until 7 times passed over him, he ate grass as the oxen, as the animals, my friend, out there. And the view of heaven with him, brother, and the hair of his head grew out as eagle's feathers, brother, and I guess he looked like a terrible something out there. The simply because that he had forgotten who had begotten him, and that God controlled the earth as well as the heavens. And his son knew about these things. Now there are many things in our lives that we have seen that happen to others that should be, brethren, a lesson to you and I. We need to walk in the powers of holiness, of the powers of righteousness, of the powers, my friends, of the godly men and women of the earth. And he said to shun of the very appearance of evil and to when we think we stand, he said, to stand. Brother, I said, you, we need to do that. All right. And his fingernails grew out there a great long, like the claws of birds or of the eagle or something like that. And he grew, my friend, out yonder in the forest. You look at him, a mighty king. Commentary said that he lost his mind for a certain season. Perhaps he did. I would deny that fact at all. Because he didn't know anything until reason came back to him at the appointed time when 7 times had passed over him. Then God restored unto him the knowledge of who he was and why he was in the condition that he was. Now, Belshazzar was raised up in that family. He knew exactly what happened. But my friends, he ignored that. Now the Bible said that I read in your hearing in Ecclesiastes, but to remember these things, brother, because he'll call us, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. Brother, I'll tell you today that there are a lot of people in the world tonight that are not concerned too much about their children. They'll say, well, when they get to be a certain age or this, that, and the other, then I'll take them to church. Then I'll do this, that, and the other. My friends, some of them may be dead and in hell if we don't lead them to Christ now. Not next year or some other time. Yes, they'll laugh at us. They'll mock us. They'll make fun of us. They'll do all of those things. And when the time comes that they don't, we better look out. The Bible says, they that shall live God, them that live godly shall suffer persecution. And you and I are going to suffer that. Now, Belshazzar, my friends, he went over there. And he got all of his own. He's going to throw a big time. And as I said, I'm not going to preach too long. If the Lord will let me quit. But listen. They thought that city of Babylon could not be taken. They didn't know that. Belshazzar didn't even believe that God, my friends, could destroy a Babylon. Of the mighty Babylon. Of the queen of the earth, my friends, and all of that. I guess, my friends, it was a simple matter for God to dissolve that thing and make it a place, my friends, for the animals and the beasts of the earth to live in. And God can do that to America, too, if she don't turn to God.
as sure as you and I are standing here. I bless your heart tonight. My friends, I read an article the other day, the sword of the Lord. I'd like to mention that. He said in there, he was speaking of whiskey. And he said that 10,000 drunks and killers could be turned loose and were turned loose upon the earth. And he said 10,000 to one human beings, and they said they legalized that, liquor and turned it loose. And he said one mad dog, my friends, and they immediately killed the mad dog. But I'm telling you, my friends, tonight, the way that America is headed tonight, it is headed for destruction without we turn back. They have legalized, my friends, all of those things in America. They have legalized murder. And I read it the other night, I forget what the statistics were now, but it were up in the thousands, on top of thousands, of murders in New York State alone. Brother, I'll say to you tonight that God is going to bring every one of them to accounting for those things. Every one of them. Just like he did Belshazzar. He didn't make it out there, boy. But when that hand wrote on the wall there, and his knees began to knock together, and nobody could tell him, give him the answer, it ain't the kind of talk. Somebody, I told him, his wife, the queen, I believe, said, don't be troubled about so much. There's a father in your kingdom that can iron out this thing for you. He can tell you exactly what it means. And his name is Daniel. And he was here with your father before you. And he was a great man in the kingdom. And he sent for Daniel. And Daniel came. And as I read in your hearing, he offered him gifts. he offered to make him the third ruler in the land. Daniel said, keep your gift for somebody else. Nevertheless, I will attend to the meaning of it. And as I read in your hearing there, that hand, that finger rather, had written upon the wall, he said, my friends, that your kingdom, your days are over, in other words. And he said, he explained to him why. He said, you knew about these things. You knew what your father did. And you go ahead, and you have brought the Lord's vessels out of the temple, and you brought them down here in this drunken crowd. You have drank a liquor out of wine out of them, and you've come all kinds of time, and now you brought to the judgment bar. And the Medes and Persians at that time were undermining the city, coming through there in a river that ran under the city. And they've taken it with ease. A city that those people didn't think could be taken. And I'll tell you, brother, tonight, may I say again, that America tonight is on the verge of disaster. Well, I know that some of them will say, well, you're just a cold blanket. You all the time prophesy this and that and the other. And it hasn't happened yet. Yes, there are thousands and top of thousands of people that will tell you tonight, you tell them that Jesus is coming back. They say, oh, well, I know. I've heard that all my life, but it hasn't come yet. Bless your heart. He may have not. He hasn't come yet, but he will come as sure as you and I are here tonight. He's coming. He's coming. And he's coming, my friends, to claim those that are ready to go with him. He's coming after them, thanks be unto God. He said, I go to prepare a place for him. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll come back again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In other words, Jesus is saying, when I get your house finished, when I get your mansion up there, some of them said it was just a little room in a big old mansion. So the Bible don't say that, praise God. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Or in my Father's kingdom might be the interpretation of, is many mansions.
I've heard old Brother Farnes say many times, he said, you can take any kind of an old building and you can put a room in it, but you can't make a mansion out of it. And that is true, Barry. That is true. You can take the couch stable or anything like that, and it's got rooms in it, or stalls. You can put a room in it as far as that's concerned, but that still don't make a mansion. It takes more than that to make a mansion. And you know, my friends, I have never seen any of these towns, and I have been in a few, not for many, but I've been in a few of them. And I have been even in New York City, one of our larger cities. I've been there a number of times. I have never seen any gold on the street anymore at all. I have never seen any gold on the streets of Bristol. I have never seen any gold, my friends, on the streets of any of the cities that I have been. God Almighty said up there that the street would be gold. And you and I that have labored and a lot of times suffered in this life, and perhaps maybe times that we didn't have really the needs and necessities of life, will one day walk on gold. Not the gold that you and I get, because it is not good gold. It's not like that. That gold up there is as transparent glass. Clear. All of the other stuff that would contaminate the gold is moved out. A beautiful city of God. We everyone have the promise of being there. Some of us, no doubt, will go on before others do. But I've said this a number of times, and I say it again tonight. If for no other purpose on earth that you would go to heaven, it would be worth your living, Christian life, to go to heaven to see me when I get there. Because, brethren, you talk about time, I'm going to have it. Praise the Lord, I'm going to have the time when I get there. I'm going to leave all of these old worries, heartaches, and even the joys of this life down here that we enjoy, and the things that we really enjoy, we can't even think of a thing like that. They'll be so insignificant that our minds, they'll even pass out of our minds. We won't even think of it. And that's the glorious promise of God. But, now as the old writer Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, as well as in the day of our age, of whatever it might be. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this message tonight, we pray, our Father and our God, that if there is a heart here that's unsaved, may they turn to thee, O God. May they look to thee, O God. Now, Father, we pray, Lord, as our pastor comes on the next Lord's Day, we pray, O God, that thou would use him in a far greater and mightier way than you have ever used us in this church. We pray, O God, that souls may come down the aisle night after night and accept thee as their personal. We remember, Father God, in times past, the people on the hills shouting the praise of God as they left the churches going to their homes. We remember, Father, the people that tried to run, and yet they couldn't. They had to come back to the house of God and accept thee as their own Savior. Now, Father, lead us and direct us. Use us that we praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to stand and sing something. I hope I ever remind you. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we would invite you tonight to meet the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Now, I can't say here, and neither could Brother Stature when he comes here, neither could Billy Graham if he was standing here tonight preaching from this pulpit. He can't save you.
Neither could Billy Sunday, though he risen from the dead, come back here. Neither could Dr. Hamm, though he be risen from the dead, or Dr. Spurgeon, or D.L. Moody, or any of those men, my friend. They can give you the Word of God, my friend. And by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, but it's a gift of God. It's something that God gives you. And regardless of anything that I might say or anyone else say, it is an individual matter between each individual and God. As we stand,
one step is set.
With the association that I've had
With Brother Statzer, since he said in the ministry, in this John Peter Association, we believe, may I say again, that he certainly is the man that is for this church. We remember thinking back just a little bit to John Shirley came here one time in the Bible. I never seen this happen. But I remember very distinctly, and Harold had a number of pictures of it, I think, yesterday. John Shirley had 47 professions of faith here this church. That's the Bible went off 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know how long. And at the end of that revival, we went over there on Sunday and baptized 47 people. I never seen that happen before. I've seen maybe 3 or 4. I had done the conversion, maybe that's been baptized, but they were 47 professions and 37 in the baptismal service at the end of that revival. And that God can do and will do that again if we get in the position that we were then. So let's pray that God, in His majesty and power and love and mercy, will bless us year in a far greater way than he ever has before. If there's any other announcements, if not, we'll stand by the Wayne Dunn for this message.
I first tell the Father who thinks that him to be the Lord. He thinks that he is inspiring our lives so we can be able to thank the Lord. We thank you for each request that we have, that you may ask you to go on the way.
One more thing that I want to say, I intended to announce. They did put the roof on the back of the church this past Saturday. They have just a little more work to do on it, but it's back there and it's a good job. Look to it.